Well, friends, it's a joy and a privilege to be with you here in Brookside, Ahuckle. And as already been said, there has been a very long association with yourselves and the work of the Belfast City Mission, stemming way, way back to Mr. David Hamilton's day when he went around the countryside setting up auxiliaries and contacts with local Presbyterian churches. And we thank you for your help year on year, your prayerful support and your practical support towards our work. I'd like to thank William for his kind words of welcome and for his invitation along here today. I'd like to thank John Montgomery for all that he does for us, looking after the finances. And it's good to see Stanley here this morning and his wife Ella, and all the support that you give them and Willie up there in Kimberley Street as well. And we really do appreciate all that you do for us in the mission. You know by my accent that I am from Belfast. And if you came from Belfast, you'd know what part of Belfast I came from, because we've all been different accents as well. I'm from East Belfast. And in East Belfast, you're either one of two things, believe it or not. Now, it's maybe not what you think I'm going to say. In East Belfast, you're either big or wee. When Adrian Odger joined the Belfast City Mission, he was known as Big Adrian, and I was known as Wee Bobby. And everybody in East Belfast knows a Big Billy and a Wee Billy, and everybody knows a Big Aggie and a Wee Aggie, but if you're an in-between Aggie, nobody knows you. So that's the difference between East Belfast people, you're either big or wee. As a child, I was sent along to the City Mission. I was maybe about 3 or 4. And our local mission hall, I lived in Temple Moor Street off the Albert Bridge Road, and our local hall was a little hall called Lord Street City Mission. And maybe some of the older ones would remember a missionary many years ago called Mr. James Leach. He came from around the Ballymena area. He was my missionary as a child. And from those days and growing up through the mission hall and Sunday school and BB Bible class and connected to the local Presbyterian church, as all mission halls are, and through the BB work, it's in my blood. But I wasn't converted until I was 25 years of age. I was working in Short Brothers in Harland at the time, and there was a very bright Christian in Shorts. He came from the Shankill Road, and Shankill Road people aren't backward and coming forward, and he told you where you were going if you died without Christ. And he got myself and some friends along to a gospel mission connected to his church in Newton Ards all those years ago. That was 1978, and I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ on the 3rd of December, 78. Where was I going to go then as a new convert, wet behind the ears, green as a Christian? Well, I went back to the old mission hall in Lord Street. And there was a guy just a couple of years older than myself called Tom McLaughlin. Tom was an elder in Greenville Street Presbyterian Church, Ards, and the Lord called him to the work of the Belfast City Mission. And Tom and I became great friends. He took me under his wing and taught me the things of God in the Bible classes and got me involved in Sunday school work and youth work and CE work and things like that. Great encourager, big Barnabas. It was 1984, I think it was, when he gave me a magazine from the City Mission. That was our annual report, actually. And I began to read through it, and I was amazed to read of the work that City missionaries did. How they visit the sick and people in homes and prison and do door-to-door work and open doors and all that type of thing. And I got my eyes open. And I remember Tom saying to me, "Bob, would you ever think about full-time Christian service?" And I never had, really. But when he said that, it sowed a seed in my heart and mind. And I remember one night my wife was down at the women's meeting. My wife's called Martha. And I was on my own in the house having a quiet time. And I was reading through the book of Judges at the time. And the tribe of Dan, the Danites, were seeking the prophet's face about a journey that they were about to go out on. And the word came back from the Lord through the prophet, the journey that you're about to go out on is under the eye of the Lord. And you know, as a Christian, when you read verses like that, and maybe you've read a verse, and it's like neon lights beginning to blink in front of you. I knew it was for me. I knew it was for me. And I phoned Tom, the missionary, later on, and I told him what I've just told you. Well, he says, Bobby, all you can do is push doors. He says, what I can do is I can talk to the secretary of the mission, Mr. Billy Cook. And you can go down and have a yarn with Billy in Church House there and see what happens. And that's what happened. And I went down into Church House. I remembered as well, before it was renovated, the old lifts and the old the wires, taking the lift up to the top floor and getting into Billy Cook, sitting behind the desk. My knees were knocking together. But he made me very welcome. He began to talk about the work of the mission, about Lord Street City Mission Hall, how I was involved, about my conversion. He sort of probed a wee bit about my theology. And he says, leave it with me. If you want to go further, he says, just phone in and ask for an application form, which I did. And I heard nothing for 9 months. That's the way the city mission works at times. It works very slowly, doesn't it? We want to rush ahead of God, but it wasn't God's timing. Initially, I was turned down by the mission. I must say I was disappointed, but I continued on working away in secular work in Short Brothers in Harland and working in the mission hall and going to my local church. And as I say in Belfast, I was as happy as Larry, whoever Larry was, but I was as happy as Larry anyway. And I remember one Saturday night, the wife and I had just moved house, took on a bigger mortgage. We were both working. We had one child at the time. Jonathan was about maybe one or two. And one Saturday night, I got a phone call from Billy Cook to say that the board had reconsidered and would I be willing to go ahead and join the mission. Well, you could have knocked me down with a feather, of course. Of course, the old man comes in, you know, what about the big mortgage? How are you going to cope? I knew what the wages of the mission was at the time, and when we did our sums, it wasn't going to work out. But if the Lord calls, and if the Lord's speaking to you today, a young person, an older person, to get involved in some type of work, you need to come when you're called. Not be like Jonah, who fled in the opposite direction geographically, from Nineveh down to Joppa. And we considered it, of course, and we went ahead, and the Lord blessed us. From that day on, our first hall, believe it or not, was Kimberley Street, over there in the Armour Road, now called the Bridge. And I started there in 1985. In those days, it was a very mixed community, terrible times of trouble, the bookie shop, murders. I remember one Sunday night, they took over, the IRA took over a few houses down. There used to be a public house facing the hall called the Kimberley Arms. And the IRA was waiting to blast the place, which they did. And it was a terrible time, especially for the folks of the hall. I remember we were all in a praise service on a Saturday night one night, and they tried to set it up while we were all in it. That was fun, trying to get all the old dears out. But those were the days in which we were living in. But today, Kimberley Street, Ballinafie, South Belfast, is so different as Stanley. We'll relate to you later on. Don't want to steal Stanley's thunder for tonight. But what the Lord is doing in Kimberley Street is absolutely marvelous. And Stanley has reminded us in the prayer meeting there, we have 16 halls across the city of Belfast. But let me go back a wee bit, first of all, with regards to our duration. We're 187 years old this year. 186 years old, rather, this year. 1827, the beginnings of the Belfast Town Mission, begun by the Reverend Reuben Brace. First city missioner, or city mission agent, as he was called in those days, a very fancy title. He was a man called Samuel Waddell, or Waddell, where you come from on the Malone Road or Sandy Row, depending how you pronounce his name. But Samuel Waddell was our first mission agent. Going down to the city centre, it wasn't a city, it was a town, 40,000 of a population in those days. Now you get double that in Old Trafford on a Saturday. That's how small it was in those days. But the duration of the mission has been going from then to now. And the Lord, Jehovah Jireh, has been meeting our need year on year. Our vocation is to reach people who are lost. The old motto of the mission then is still the same today. To reach the churchless. We're not out to sheep steal. We're trying to reach people who do not go to church. The careless and the Christless. And they're all there in Belfast and they're all down here on a hockle. And that's our vocation. To reach them. For Jesus Christ to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Our commission is to go. It's to go. As I was saying to the staff the other week there, you know, sometimes when God calls us to go, the problem is that we want to know God's will so that we can just wait up, not to do it. And sometimes when God calls us to go, it's downright slothfulness that we don't go. I was telling the men, I have two children. Jonathan now is 30 and Linda's 23. Jonathan has laid back, he's horizontal, as we say. He's married. And I remember one night, my daughter Linda, she was in the kitchen making supper, and he actually texted her in from the living room, "Could you bring me in a Kit Kat?" Now, if that's not laziness, I don't know what is. It's like the big lazy Irishman who had a big lazy son. And he says, "Son, away out and see if it's raining." And he says, "Ach, da, call the dog and see if it's wet." Slothfulness. God has called us to go. And the operative word is go. Not only the city missionaries, but the folks in the pews today. I'm sure there are vacancies in the organizations, in the youth club, in the Sunday school, in the PW or whatever. God calls you. You need to come when you're called. Our duration, our vocation is to reach the churchless, the careless, and the Christless. Our congregation. I've already said we have 16 mission halls, and we have halls that have pretty good numbers. We have little halls with very small numbers. But we must realize that we are a mission. We're not a church. We're not some wee parachurch sitting in Belfast, some wee mission hall playing at church. We are a mission. And our congregation not only sits before us in the pews on a Sunday night, but not only in the pews, but on the pavements outside the hall. That's where our congregation is, in the streets and the lanes and the highways and the byways. And we have to go out and compel them to come in, which we do, of course. Door-to-door work is, to be quite honest, if you're doing it on your own, it can be very demoralizing. I remember leaving shorts, as I say, and going into the mission. And maybe in a couple of weeks, you're standing around Kimberley Street or Walmer Street or Burma Street, and you don't really know the district. You're knocking on doors. You don't know who's going to fly at you from a door. You don't know what they're going to say to you. And you can go home that particular night after feeling you haven't got anywhere. It can be demoralizing. You can go home with your tail between your legs. And I often say it takes three qualifications to be a city missionary. And they're not necessarily academic. They are good to have, of course, as well, with regards knowing the Word of God and applying it. But there are three qualifications to be a missionary. The first one is to have a brass knack. You need a brass knack. You need a skin like a rhino. People talk to you on the door. And you need a backbone like a crowbar. I mean, you've got those three things. You'll be doing all right as a city missionary, let me tell you. And after a lot of years, but like water of a duck's back. I probably maybe told you this before, but I remember one of our old missionaries went to a door one time, and good old Protestant East Belfast rapped the door, and this burly gentleman came out, and you can just picture him. He's like somebody you would see and give him a headpiece on the TV. He had a big vest on, a hole in it, and gravy stains down the front. He says to the missionary, "What do you want?" He says, "We'd like to invite you around to the little mission hall on Sunday night." He says, "If you don't get away from a door," he says, "I'll eat ye." Well, the missionary says, "If you eat me, you'll have more brains in your stomach than you have in your head." It takes you to have a backbone like a crowbar. And our men go out day after day and week after week, knocking doors and conversing with people who do not go to church, who have never been to church, and maybe their parents haven't been to church. And we're to reach these people. Our congregations are not only inside the hall, but outside the hall. One of our retired men, Mr. Earl McCrory, he used to be in Kilburn Street, and he had a big sign on the exit door of the hall, and it said this: "You are now entering a mission field." When you go out the door, our exclamation is to preach the gospel, the full gospel. Not just that God is sitting in heaven on a fluffy cloud and he's all love and all gentleness. We must preach the full gospel. We must preach the order of salvation, the ordo salutis, from election and predestination to glorification and all the other bits in between. We need to tell the whole story. And what opportunities we have at bedsides, at firesides, in prison cells, telling people the story of God, the law, and how we have broken God's law on the gospel, how Christ fulfilled the law and died for sinners upon a cross. We must exclaim the full gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and all our men are faithful in doing that. Pray Sunday by Sunday evening. Pray through the week in our midweek services. Pray as we do door-to-door work, as we proclaim the gospel to people, that they will respond. But of course, in the work there is frustration. Sometimes you're very frustrated. We are frustrated because of the apathy of people, because of the days of materialism in which we find ourselves, of the secularism of society. And somebody prayed in the prayer meeting, was so true, that people have so much today, they feel they can do without God. One of the men was doing door-to-door work, and he asked a particular gentleman, this was on the Upper Donegal Road, in the village area, "Would you like to come round to the mission hall on Sunday night?" And he said to the guy, he says, "Look, you see that BMW outside my door?" The fellow's probably on the brew. "You see that BMW outside my door?" He says, "That's mine. Belongs to me. Come on in here a minute. See that 50-inch flat-screen TV? It's mine. Come here a minute. See that microwave and that dishwasher and that American fridge, a big jam? It's all mine. What do I need God for?" And that's the mindset of people today. So well off. In days of yore, when people had nothing, they looked to God, didn't they? And we need God to come and mighty revival blessing to make his arm burn, come down and rend the heavens. And speak to people. We can't whip it up. We can't produce it by printer's ink. We can't go down the street beating a big drum. It must come from God. But we can't get frustrated, but we have to encourage one another. We have a staff meeting every Friday morning in Sandy Row Mission Hall. And we pray together and we share together and we have a cup of tea together and we banter together, Stanley, don't we? We have a good time. And it's so important that we tell one another what we're going through, the frustrations that we face, and encourage ourselves, not only one with another, but encourage ourselves in the Lord. Because all the prophets and all the great men of God and all the great women of God and the role of faith in Hebrews 11, they all face trouble and frustration. And we're no different. But what is our compensation? You see, it's worth it all when souls come to Christ. That's our compensation. Paul's great joy was this, that he would present those people that he led to the Lord before the Lord. And that's our compensation. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his and have riches untold. There's an old song, and you heard it sang, there's no business like show business. What a lot of nonsense. There's no business like the king's business. And the king's business requires haste. And there's coming a day when Jesus Christ will present us faultless before the glory of his Father with exceeding joy. And that's the compensation for missionaries. We maybe not see, I'd love to be able to tell you today that last year 500 souls were saved. I can't tell you that. But I can tell you souls were saved. People from a Muslim background. People from Roman Catholic backgrounds. Pagan Protestantism saved by the grace of God. And this is our compensation, that we're in the Lord's work and we're in it all together. We're all parts of the links and the chain. But how do we get our work out, our word out, our information, in other words? Well, John put in the foyer of the church our up-to-date annual report and our new prayer magazine called Exchange. Our office is based in called Glengall Exchange in Glengall Street. And what we want to do is exchange with our listeners out there, our readers out there, what's going on in the mission, and so they can, as we give out information, they can pray upwards that the Lord will bless us in the work. So please help yourself on the way out to those magazines. Our information through the website, www.belfastcitymission.org.uk. Look it up. Our prayer news updates on it, our annual reports on it, latest news, staff news, those who are doing well, those who are getting sick. William reminded me there when he was talking about old bald head there, Alicia. I was thinking of Willie Cairn. Willie went to the doctors and he says, "Doctor, did you give me something to keep my hair in?" The doctor gave him a cardboard box. You can tell him the next time you see him. But that's how we get out our information. And as I go out, and my responsibility as secretary is to do auxiliary services, to go and give information. Tonight I'm up in a wee mission hall, maybe a dozen people in Tansy, outside Portadown, to tell them what I'm telling you. And this was all started off, as already said, by David Hamilton all those years ago. Little pockets of people in little halls or little schoolhouses, maybe a dozen, maybe six. And those people all together in churches like yourselves who pray and give brings me to my last point, donation. It takes somewhere in the region of £600,000. Irene, Wayne Rooney would earn that in about 3 weeks. £600,000 to keep us afloat year on year, and the Lord has never let us down. Even in the midst of these last three or four years of austerity, the Lord's continued to meet our need. Let me finish with one story. We have a wee hall in the Shankill Road called Mayo Street. And the missionary there is a guy called Tom Marshall. And for the want of a better word, Mayo Street was a dundering inn. You know what that means, don't you? It was falling down around him. And he brought me up and I says, "This is a terrible state." But we had a big problem. Because the problem with the hall was that it was adjoined to a local community centre, which had gone vacant and had been vandalised, and the kids were using it as a shebeen week on week, and they were vandalising not only the hall, the community centre, but got up onto the roof, and every week we had broken tiles and broken gutterings and broken windows. It was a running sore for years. And to pump money and to keep it going was absolute folly. Well, praise the Lord for answered prayer, and praise the Lord for JCBs. Because a big JCB flattened the community centre last year. And I was glad to see it flattened, let me tell you. So again, Tom says, "Come on up, we'll look at the hall." And we got our builder, Robert McBurney, Bob the Builder, we call him. And Bob come up and we looked around the hall, and I knew by his face it was in bad shape. I says, "Robert, see what you can do for us and send us an estimation in, and we'll see what we can do with the whore. Well, he sent the estimation in, the estimate in, and it was £53,000. Well, my chin hit the floor because we didn't have that amount of money in our property account, of course. So on a Friday morning, we began to pray that the Lord would meet the need, and money started coming in. The Lord drip fed it to us, maybe just to test our faith, but nothing in reality big was happening. And remember parking the car in Sandy Row. I park on Sandy Row every day. I'm walking around the office. It takes about 5 minutes. And I was walking around and I was praying, as you do at times, and your mouth's moving and your people look at you, think you have money in the bank. You see, that fella's away in the head. But I was praying. I says, Lord, we need £50,000. And you tell us that you are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. So, Lord, I'm taking you at your word. I wasn't being irreverent by saying this, but I says, Lord, I'm not going to pray about this anymore. I'm going to leave it with you. And I did. About a fortnight later, the mail came in and Angela brought it in, set it at my desk, and I started opening the envelopes, usually bills, of course, electric bills, gas bills, water bills. But there was one envelope and it was postmarked Salford, Manchester. And I opened the envelope. There wasn't even a letter and there was no correspondence. But there was a check for £50,000. And I was dancing around the office like a wee fella on Christmas Eve, waiting on Santa coming. Let me tell you, the Lord's no man's debtor. Continue to pray for our work. We really do value your prayers. We really do value your practical support. May the Lord bless you for blessing us. Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you for who you are, the sovereign God of all the universe, seated on your majestic throne, all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We thank you, Lord, that as we approach Christmas time, we will be rejoicing that in the birth of Jesus Christ at Bethlehem of Judea, this is where the invisible God became visible. But the creator of the cosmos became a creature yet without sin. The sovereign became a servant, dwelt and lived amongst us, full of grace and truth, the impeccable one. We thank you for his life and the accounts of his life in the Gospels, for his violent and vicious death upon a cross. But we bless you today that the tree in the tomb is empty, and Jesus Christ is seated at your right hand, building his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Father, in these days we pray that we may be those tools in your hand to bring about your purposes. Father, help us always to be on the lookout, to be always spiritually tuned in to those who are lost, and that we may take those opportunities that you give us to share your gospel with them. We thank you for the support of this church. We pray that you will bless them in the coming days, and indeed here in the Hockle, that this church may be the birthplace, the spiritual birthplace of many in the days that lie ahead as well. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our closing praise is hymn 681, a very apt hymn to finish with. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave.